Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sam. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. And could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today I'm joined by a very special guest, a player that arrived at Motherwell in 2012 and really became a firm fan favourite during his two spells at the football club. I'm delighted to welcome along Henrik Ayama. Henrik, thank you very much for joining me today.
Hi, and thanks for the kind welcome. Happy to be here.
So let's go back to January 2012, a significant month for me because that was the month my daughter was born. 12 days before she was born, you made your debut against Queen's Park at Firth Park. Starting off with a goal, you come off the bench and you scored in the final minute of the game to seal a 4-0 victory. A perfect start.
Yeah, really. And it doesn't really get much better than this, you know, in your first game, getting a goal and the team getting a great win. So, definitely a moment I still remember very well. You know, it's normally it takes sort of a little time to build into it with a new team and to get used to your teammates. But I think, you know, especially the starting period at Motherwell was very special because everything's clicked very, very quickly. And of course, it helped that the whole team was playing great. Throughout the season, they were already competing for the high places, but it was really, I think it's very unique. You don't get that often in football, in my experience, and especially taking into account that, you know, I hadn't played for a couple months because I played in Finland, you know, there the season ends in November, so I hadn't really played or trained with the team full time since November, and I came in, and, you know, if you look at it fitness-wise, then I shouldn't have really been in a great place, but it sort of, I think the whole atmosphere was so positive at the time as well, and the atmosphere around the club and on match days kind of gave that extra lift.
I'm just looking through the starting 11 for that game. So many excellent players, just to name off a few: Darren Randolph in goal, it's Stephen Hamill, Stephen Cragan, Sean Hutchison, Nicky Law, Tom Hatley, Steve Jennings, Jamie Murphy, Keith Lasley, Michael Higdon, Chris Humphrey. It's, the list goes on. A really, really talented group of players, that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was really a great team, and you could see that also. I think the way the team was put together by everybody in the office, and you know, all the coaching staff, I think, was really great as well. Because a lot of times you see now that teams will try to kind of stretch out the team or have the biggest squad possible to have competition for places and to have that depth if there is some injuries and so on. But I think the club took possibly a little bit of a risk there. It was, we didn't have such a big squad. I think we had maybe 14, 15 senior players and the rest were relatively young players. But I think that really paid off because the 14, 15 senior players we had were really, really high quality, like you said.
And you quickly, as you've already mentioned, you quickly found your feet in the league as well. You got your first league goal against Dunfermline, then got a double 4 days later in a 3-2 win over St Johnston, and then followed it up with another goal against Morton in the Cup. By this point, the pistols were out, the celebration was becoming very, very popular, and you seemed to make yourself at home very quickly at Firth Park.
Yeah, I agree. It's, if you, looking back at it, you know, it's not something you see very often. Of course, it's slightly easier as an attacking player that to come into a new club, but still, you know, normally it takes a lot of time to get to know your teammates and a lot of time to know exactly what the coach wants from you in your position and so on. But everything really, really clicked well. And, you know, I think it wasn't only due to me hitting a good patch of form then, but also, you know, like I said, the whole atmosphere around the club was great. You know, we got a great lift from the fans on match days, and the whole atmosphere around was very positive. But I think also it's, for me, it was very special because, you know, it was how it came about that I came to Malmö. You know, it wasn't such a straightforward process. You know, I think I normally, you know, I think I must have been on trial in Malmö maybe 3 times in the space of 5 weeks or something like this. So it was really unusual the way it came about. But, you know, once we got the contract signed eventually, and we really hit off straight away.
And you mentioned the atmosphere. There's obviously a lot of very good senior professionals at the football club. Stuart McCall also seemed to be a massive positive influence on your career. What was the atmosphere about round about the club in terms of Stuart McCall's leadership? He seemed to have all the players really working towards a common goal, and he enjoyed fantastic success during his time at Motherwell.
Yeah, really. I think it speaks volumes for him. You know, how he got the best out of the players, and he was obviously well liked by all the players and much respected. But I think not only from the atmosphere side that he managed to create such a good atmosphere in training and everything. There wasn't any negativity. If we lost a game or something, we had some harsh words, but next time we came to work in training, you know, everything was very bubbly again. Trainings were energetic, but also I think the way he understood his players and understood their strengths, you know, because he managed to use everybody's strengths in the team we had out there. Of course, like you mentioned, I think it was a great squad that we had, but also I think it's down to Stuart that he got the best out of every player.
The team were very free scoring. It was almost a kind of situation where you felt that Mudo could go toe to toe with anyone and get the better of them just simply by outscoring them. A game I always remember is the midweek game against Hibs at Fir Park, which finished 4-3. Michael Higden got a hat-trick on that night. It was a pretty crazy game. And these games were kind of quite common. Hearts came to Fir Park and were turned over 3-0. Very convincing victory, despite the fact that Keith Lasley got sent off in that game. There was a 5-1 victory over St Johnstone, which basically set up the qualification for the Champions League. The team were playing with such confidence, and it showed in the result.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. If you look at some of the results, some of the games we had, really, it was there was, I think, a lot of times you see that teams, you know, they have, of course, Higgy was the guy scoring a ton of goals, you know, which is great to him. But I think also the way we played, it wasn't sort of one dimensional. You see that sometimes a team scores a lot from, I don't know, crosses, or sometimes they get only in behind, and that's how they score most of the goals. I think there was also a good variety within the team. You know, we could pick apart the team through different players, the different styles, and I think that really helped us to be such a high scoring team.
And the victory over Hearts at Tynecastle secured that Motherwell would play in the Champions League qualifiers. It still sounds quite ridiculous to say something like that. A massive, massive achievement for the football club. And they did so playing such an attractive brand of football. The celebrations that night between the fans and the players and the staff, it clearly meant so much to everyone. What was the emotions on that night?
Yeah, I think it was a really, really special moment for everybody involved, because although normally as a player you want to always if you're playing for something, you don't want to put too much pressure, and by saying that we are looking at the table or we are looking at the European qualification, it's always sort of we focus on the next game and we take it one game at a time. But that was something I think that was in everybody's mind, and something that we were discussing within the team quite a lot. So to finally cement that European place, you know, at the away game at Hearts was very special, of course.
And moving into your first full season at the football club, Panathinaikos provided the opposition for the Champions League qualifier. Looking back on the home leg of that tie, they came away 2-0 victors, but I felt the Muddle gave a very good account of themselves that night, and perhaps if it had been a wee bit more streetwise and had that bit more experience, which obviously Panathinaikos did have, that could have made all the difference, really. It wasn't as one-sided as maybe the scoreline suggested.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that's, we didn't, I don't know if the occasion got to us or what exactly it was, but we didn't really give the best account of ourselves. Like you said, I think that the second leg was obviously, once you give away two away goals and you go to somewhere like Panathinaikos in the second league, second leg was always going to be extremely, extremely tough. So I think in that first game, there was a chance to get some sort of a result. You know, if you get, after playing some more European ties, you know, if you get that away goal, that's crucial. And I think if we could have just kept a clean sheet and gone away to Panathinaikos at least at the 0-0 or something, we could have had a chance. But we didn't really play that well in the first leg, which was a shame, because I think in the league we started quite well that season. It was just that at this game it wasn't really at our best. I don't know if it was due to just the occasion getting to us or what, but there was definitely, I think, an opportunity missed, unfortunately.
Yeah, and as you say, the results in the league were fairly steady at the start of that season. Again, it looked very much like the team would be competing at the right end of the table. You didn't manage to get on the score sheet until November of that season. It came in a 5-1 victory at Inverness. Was there a point during that spell that you were maybe getting a wee bit frustrated and concerned? Because, as you say, you arrived at Fir Park and scored right off from your first game, so you hadn't had a barren spell in front of goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I was definitely, you know, getting not worried, but I was a little bit frustrated by it, because you always want to help the team. I think especially in the start of the season, I think we went something like, I don't know, 7 or 8 games, something where we didn't lose. So as long as the team was doing fine, it wasn't really something that I was thinking about too much. You know, I was playing and the team was doing well. But I think we had a spell, I think in October or something, when we didn't win for, I think, 3 or 4 games. And because I hadn't scored up that as well, and I was thinking I would really like to help the team more. It was getting sort of... to be sort of a little bit of a negative influence on me, maybe, that I hadn't scored when the team started to lose some games. But luckily, you know, we bounced back from that as a team. And then I think I scored at Inverness, and after we had a really, really good spell when I think we won 4 games out of 5. So that definitely got us back on the right track. And it was good to get that goal. You know, I didn't score a ton of goals that season, but I think that was sort of, we were playing so well and gelling so well offensively that didn't really matter who was scoring the goals.
Yeah, and one game I've got really fond memories of is the Hibs game. I believe that actually came before your Christmas night out, which was looking under a bit of threat at 2-0 for Hibs. Jamie Murphy got a goal back and then scores again with 10 minutes to go to equalise. And then off the bench, Bob McHugh grabs an 88th minute winner. Remarkable comeback, and I'm pretty sure that the Christmas night out was quite eventful after that.
Oh, for sure, it really saved it. I think I remember Bob getting the late goal was a delight for him and for everybody, because you know, obviously that would have put a different kind of spin on the Christmas night out. I think we went to Dublin, if I'm correct. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure we went to Dublin. So that they definitely saved the Christmas night out.
And then Boxing Day, Aberdeen visited Fir Park. And again, it's another game I've got really fond memories of. Aberdeen were quite strong, but Motherwell just absolutely blew them off the park that day. He didn't get a goal, but a 4-1 victory. The team were just playing with such great confidence, and it was was really a joy to watch at times.
Yeah, I think, I think he sort of carried over the momentum we were having. You know, even if we went a goal down, especially at home, you know, I think we always felt that we could outscore the other team and get a positive result. I think we scored first in that game though, but still, you know, we had, I think, going into every game, it's sort of in my career, but I think I've been in both scenarios. You know, when you're playing near the top of the table and every game is, you go into the game expecting to do well, it sort of builds that positive momentum. Whereas you're in the other end of the table, it can be the opposite, where you're sort of, if you go a goal down, you can't seem to find that rhythm to get going again. But I think it was pretty special, because the momentum we got at times was just excellent, and we just the trust in your teammate that even if you're having a bad game, then we have so many other great players that can win you a game. You know, like you said, when you mentioned the players in the team, we had a lot of quality, and you always could count on your teammate. I think that was pretty special.
And into 2013, James McFadden also returned to the football club, a club legend, a massive figure in the club's history. That gave the supporters a huge lift. And I would imagine it must have given the dressing room a lift as well, to have a player of that stature and that calibre coming back to the football club. That can only be a positive, surely.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's, like you said, his influence in the change room was great. And because I didn't know him personally before that, then obviously it was great to see the type of guy he is. And, you know, obviously he had played at a very, very high level in his career and had a great career down south. But you see kind of also the, you know, he came in and it wasn't like he was behaving himself like he's a big star in our team. You know, he was really a great member of a team and very, very humble in that as well. You know, because of course in his situation, I think many could have sort of expected to play all the time and play 90 minutes all the time. But he sort of took on any role that the team needed at the time. And I thought that was really important, that, you know, everybody could see that he was 100% invested in it, and he was really, really a positive, you know, influence on the team, not only on the pitch but also in the change room.
And the results were showing that. There was obviously no Rangers in the league that season, and Motherwell, time and time again, went toe to toe with Celtic, and quite often came out in a positive fashion as well. The first victory over Celtic that season was a midweek 2-1 victory. Chris Humphrey had opened the scoring. Samaras got an equaliser for Celtic before Michael Higden scored the winner. That again demonstrates the confidence that the team had, that they could go up against the best, and not only that, they could then come out on top against the best team in the league as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was that season we beat them twice, and you know, because I played with this first half of season. Now I played together with Lukas Saluska, you know, the Celtic backup keeper at the time, and he told me, says, "Oh, I don't know, you guys always seem to find like that extra gear or fight that extra bit harder against Celtic." But I don't think that was ever the case. You know, I think that was just, we kind of rose to the occasion, you know, of playing against a good quality team, and it was great to give the fans, you know, two home victories against Celtic that season. That was pretty special.
The battle for second was heating up, and the game at Tannadice would be the one that sealed second place for Motherwell. A 3-1 victory. Michael Higden at this point was just playing in the best football of his career. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He scored a brilliant goal to open the scoring. And then you scored 6 minutes later to make it 2-0. Now, trips to Dundee United are always normally quite closely contested affairs, but on this occasion, Motherwell were far superior than Dundee United. It looked like it was going to be a game that, as I say, would decide second place. And it was one that the team won quite easily in the end.
Yeah, I think that was a great game. I remember that game well, you know, obviously because Higgy scored that goal from distance as well. Yeah, it just sort of seemed like whatever Higgy just couldn't miss at the time. You know, everything he was... every time he was having a shot at goal, it seemed to go in. You know, it was really, really playing great. And but to go to Tannadice and win in such a confident, in such an emphatic fashion, I think that was that was a great away game. Sometimes, you know, if you get, we had a quite a decent following there from Motherwell fans that day as well. So sometimes you kind of, away games don't really feel like away games. And if you get a couple of early goals like we did in the day, and the traveling fans get really behind you and create a great atmosphere, it doesn't really feel like an away game so much. So that was a great game for us.
You mentioned the supporters there. Right from the start of your career at Motherwell, you enjoyed a great relationship with the fans. There a lot of players that have been at the club and left talk about the atmosphere, particularly at home games. How important was your relationship with the fans, and how much do you kind of put that down to your success as well?
Massively, I think I played a massive part, really. Like I said, you know, it wasn't only the performances on the pitch. You know, the fans created a very supportive atmosphere throughout, which can make a huge difference. You know, even if we get the goal down sometimes or something like this, you know, we could always feel that they were right behind us. I think when you mentioned before, you know, that in the start of the season, I didn't score for a while. You know, I think one of the concerns I had at the time was, you know, kind of, this is what the fans were expecting of me from the season before. So I kind of felt like, you know, I'm not really paying them back for all their support when I wasn't scoring that many goals, you know. But it wasn't something that, you know, I was ever criticized for, or that sometimes, you know, I was getting any stick for. So that was, I always felt their support throughout that period as well, you know. And it was great to see the supporters rewarded that season. You know, like I said, not only the finishing position in the league, but also, you know, some really memorable home wins.
The following game after the Dundee United game was a 3-1 victory over Celtic at Firth Park. You earned yourself the Man of the Match award with a brilliant performance that day, and you also equalised just right on half time with what I would describe as my favourite goal that you scored during your time at Motherwell. It's great work from Keith Lasley, and he plays you in, but you show great strength and drive the ball past Fraser Foster. It's a cracking goal, and I'm actually just watching it just now, the celebrations as well after it. It clearly meant a lot to you.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that's one of my goals that I've probably watched the most time, you know, most times, because it really brings back really great memories, because that was obviously an important goal right at half time, and we ended up winning the game 3-1 in the second half. That was really, I think, one of the most memorable goals and matches from my time at Firth Park. I just remember as well that after the game, I had to take off straight away. I went to the airport. Nicky Law drove me to the airport, and I had to fly home back to Estonia because I was taking an exam, I remember, in Estonia. So I couldn't really stay in the dressing room and for a long time and enjoy this occasion. I had to shoot straight off to the airport, but that was a really, really memorable game.
Wow, I hope you passed the exam.
I did. You know, I was in going into it with a good mindset, and it went well.
Perfect. That game also will be remembered for the fact that Neil Lennon had a few words about Michael Higden and the Player of the Year nomination that he had. He kind of made reference to it when he scored the penalty in the second half. For me, that season was just unbelievable from Michael Higden. He was absolutely superb. Probably not the level that we expected from him. I thought it was far and away better than I ever could have imagined him in that season. It must have been a real pleasure to play with someone that was playing with such confidence and scoring so many important goals.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think I've played with a striker who's had quite the season like he had, because, like I said, everything that he, every time he had a shot on goal, it seemed to somehow go in. And for me as well, you know, it was really, really helped. You know, statistically this season I had a lot of assists, but also when I look back at it, for my type of player, it was really good to have Higgy there, because whenever, sort of, let's say I had a one against one situation near the box and I beat my man and I had to put in a quick cross or something like this, I didn't feel that I need to really put in a perfect cross or the perfect pass just to get it in a certain area, and I knew that Higgy would be there, and more often than not he would finish it. So it was a really, for me, a great striker to play together with.
come the end of the season, you would move on and join Legia Warsaw. You had enjoyed, as we've already talked about, such great times at Motherwell. Was it a difficult decision to move on? You had obviously enjoyed great success. The team were challenging at the top end of the table in both seasons that you were at the club. A big club like Legia Warsaw, it must have obviously been very tempting for you, but I would imagine it would have also been difficult to leave a club where you seem to be so happy.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was an extremely hard decision to make, you know, because like I said, so happy, you know, at the club, you know, such a great relationships with my teammates, with the fans, you know, with all the staff, you know, who were really excellent to me. So it was a really tough decision to make. Obviously, coming from Estonia, you know, in this Eastern Europe region, Legia is by far, you know, the most well-known club. So it would have really had to take a special offer for me to consider. So it was really tough to make that call. But in the end, you know, I felt that this was an opportunity I wanted to take as well. You know, of course, it was with a heavy heart. But you know, going to Legia is probably the biggest club that I've played for in my career. So it was also, you know, an interesting experience, you know, winning the league, and we played in the Europa League groups, you know, we just narrowly missed out on the Champions League groups on away goals. So it was definitely a great experience as well, but it was very hard, definitely very hard to leave Motherwell. I'm just happy, you know, that the club also got a good transfer fee out of it that they could use to rebuild the squad for the following season, and it wasn't like I left on a free.
Yes, absolutely. And that season the team would finish second again.
Yeah.
You returned to Fir Park on loan in August of 2014. And I suppose it was kind of prominent because the fortunes of the team had really turned. Stuart McCall would leave not long after you rejoined the football club, and it seemed like all the confidence that had been so obvious in the previous seasons was just draining away from the team, and the results were poor. The fans were beginning to turn a wee bit, and it was just a very difficult time, that first half of the season, really.
Yeah, it was definitely very, very difficult, you know, at the time, because in my previous spell with the club, you know, we had such success and such a constantly a positive atmosphere around the club. You know, we were expecting, pretty much going into every game, we were expecting to win it, you know, to see the other side of it was very tough, you know, and because, you know, still it was a huge reason, you know, why I came back on loan as well, you know, to see him leave not long after, you know, it was very, very tough to see. And I'm just obviously disappointed not to be able to give the fans the sort of performances that the team had usually put on, you know, even in, like I said, the season after I left, you know, the clubs were still playing great, you know, finished second again. So it was definitely hard to see the other side of it.
Do you think that it was just a case of, so often Motherwell would lose big players, and time and time again the manager was having to replace them with less money? Was it almost inevitable that there was going to be struggles because the manager's not going to be able to get it right every time, is he?
Yeah, you know, like I said, I think it's always a difficult rebuilding job, you know, not only if you lose sort of, you can lose one or two players every season, and probably you can keep sort of the nucleus of the squad together, you know, but I think if you have to replace a larger number of players every year, you know, sometimes you're going to get it right and sometimes it's just not going to click that way, or the team needs more time to click, you know. So I wouldn't say that it was a bad team, because I think we had some great players, you know, but it just sort of wouldn't come together for us in a way that it had previously. And obviously everybody was getting used to success in the years before, so it was definitely hard to accept for everybody.
And you did have a few highlights during that loan spell, possibly the biggest one being the late equaliser against Ross County. And at that point, I remember thinking that you really seemed to be getting back up to the fitness levels and the confidence levels that you had during that first spell.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously in the first half of the season was quite difficult for me because I missed all of summer through an injury. You know, hadn't played, I hadn't done a full preseason, so I felt that I was hitting more form in November, December time, like you said. So I definitely agree with that. Obviously, was after Steele went, I was hoping that maybe Kenny Black was going to get the job, you know, because he was from the worked together with Steele so well before. So obviously it was disappointing the way the managerial changes went down that year. But you know, that's the decision the club had to make, you know, because things were not moving in the right direction. But personally, yeah, definitely, then the first couple of months was difficult fitness wise due to not having a full preseason. But I was hitting definitely physically and performance wise better levels closer to Christmas.
Your final game for the club came in a heavy defeat at Dens Park. You were also sent off on half-time of that game. I think it goes without saying that must have been a very disappointing way to end your second spell at Fir Park.
No, absolutely. You know, it would have been nice to finish on a different note. Also, that was a really tough day for us, performance-wise, and also, you know, for me personally, I think that at that time we had lost a couple of games in a row as well, so it was really sad to leave on such a note. But you know, I still those brighter memories still sort of stick in my mind more than the way it ended in the second spell. But that's just how it is.
Yes, of course, and I think that even from the 30 minutes of conversation that we've had, we've talked about so many highs. There was very few lows during your time at Motherwell. It must have been quite difficult to leave the club and you know that they're struggling at the bottom end of the table. As it transpired, they would win the playoff against Rangers and stay up. Did you follow the progress of Motherwell after you left?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that especially that season when you've played half a season there and I left with the club wasn't performing that great. You know, it was tough to see that they were close to relegation. So it was a really a big relief to see that that the club managed to stay up through the playoffs in the end. You know, and I think that was also for the whole club. You know, it was crucial because you see for example, this year, you know, the club is playing fantastic again, and it was I think once you go down, it's not such an easy way to come straight back up.
Yeah, and again, it must be something that's pleased you, the fact that the club are continuing to do well in the top flight of Scottish football this season. As it stands, look like they'll finish in third spot. It's a football club that continues to produce results and seasons kind of against the expectations, really. The phrase punching above their weight is used quite a lot, and I don't really like that, to be honest, but the club do produce results against the odds quite a lot.
Yeah, and I think once it goes to throughout a longer period, you know, you cannot really say that the club is really punching above its weight. You know, see, this is a club that finds a way to put a great team out there year in, year out. You know, of course, if you club's in a position when it cannot always hang on to all the players and has to rebuild every now and then, that I think that's great credit to the club as a whole, the way it's run, and also, you know, the kind of the support they have and everything that helps them be competitive on the closer to the top end of the table consistently. So I think that's, you know, Motherwell, you know, that's where they seem to belong now, because that's the sort of results that they managed to put together over a very long time frame. So I think that's I think they are definitely there to stay by the looks of it. So it was great to see that them having such a great season now. It's definitely, you know, when I'm coming back from an away game or something and checking the results, it's always a team whose results I keep an eye out for. So it was great to see.
And since great to see. Your loan spell at Motherwell, you've you've had a few spells elsewhere, and then noticeably, you obviously had some time at Dundee, came back to Firth Park. You weren't very popular in this day because Dundee came away with a 5-1 victory in what was Mark McGee's final game in charge of Motherwell. Was it a bit strange coming back as an opposition player after doing a bit years, obviously being such a fan favourite?
Yeah, it was really strange, to be honest. You know, come to that away changing room, you know, and being in the wayside visiting Firth Park. So it was definitely tough, you know, and to see that Motherwell, of course, you do your best for the team that you're playing for, and we had a great result for Dundee at the day, but it was hard to see the team struggling, and you know, more than that, it was hard to see that sort of the sentiment around the club seemed to be very, very different at the time. So that was tough to see. But you know, like we spoke about previously, it's not easy to rebuild the team every year, and I think that it's only understandable that there's some spells where it doesn't work out quite the same way. But it was, for me, sad to see. To be honest, you know, it was great to see all the great people that that work at the club. But that I remembered from my time there, obviously, but it was hard to see the going through such a low period.
And bringing it up today, you're currently playing in Poland, or desperate to get back to playing in Poland, I would imagine. How do you feel that your career's progressed, and are you still enjoying your football just as much as you did during your time in Scotland?
Yeah, absolutely. But I would say I'm happy with the career I've had. You know, obviously you always want to. Everybody has starts out with a dream of playing at the highest level, but it's I think it's also very important as a professional player to be appreciative, you know, of being able to play professionally for what I've, so it's over a decade for me now. So I'm always going to be very appreciative of that. But I think it's going to be very hard to replicate sort of the feeling that we had within the team and around the club at Motherwell. So I think it's definitely a very special period for me in my career. You know, I would say arguably the period where I've been happiest on the pitch, for sure, because we were playing such great football, like you said, and I had great relationships with everybody within the team and around the club. So it's definitely a very, very fond memory. And yeah, right now playing in Poland, in Widzew, you know, it's one of the biggest clubs here, I would say. It's sort of a Rangers-like situation where they've gone down, had to drop down many leagues some years ago, and they're working their way up the league. So I've just joined the club here now. We're in the third highest division and top of the league, and on our way back to the Premiership here. You know, it's interesting time also in my career. You know, it's, we're playing in the third division, but we have a stadium of 20,000 sold out for every game. So it's looking to hopefully get back started with football. Looks like it's going to be here in about a month's time or 5 weeks' time. We're going to start playing again. So that's a positive news, because like I said, we're 5 points clear at the top of the table, and so we don't really want to see the season cancelled at this moment.
No, it's very difficult. We're obviously doing the 14 podcasts in 14 days to support the Scottish Association for Mental Health. And what I've been asking the guests, Henrik, is what hints and tips they've got to stay on top of their mental health during these difficult times. There's a lot of worry there. It's just so different from normality that can be quite difficult and quite draining on people. What do you do to just give yourself that wee bit of normality, or perhaps escape the worry that's going on just now?
Yeah, I think it's a great cause that you guys are doing and bringing attention to it. And I think it's obviously a very, very important cause. For me personally, you know, I was when the lockdown started, you know, my wife had just come back to Estonia for a week, you know, and we didn't expect it to go like this. So she couldn't come back here for a while. And I was here alone for, I think, 3 weeks or something. So, and after that, the Polish embassy helped us out so we could she could come back here. But I think it's obviously the toughest on people who are by themselves at this time, you know, and I think it's it's crucial to reach out to people. You know, you whenever you feel low, you know, also I think in times, not relatable to this situation, but at times in my career, you know, when I've lived on by myself in another country and you feel down, you can really get get into a negative spiral with your thoughts unless you reach out to somebody and then kind of discuss things through or just chat with somebody. So I think it's whenever people are feeling sort of in a low point or just kind of don't seem to see any positives, then I think reaching out to your loved ones is absolutely crucial, you know, to help you put things in, not only put things into perspective, but just to hear a friendly voice. I think that's can really help in this situation.
That's so true, and it's just so important to try keeping in contact with people. Now, just to finish up, we've obviously talked about your time at Motherwell, and in recent podcasts where I've had former players on, what they've always said is the club gets under their skin, whether that be just relationships with the office staff, with the kit man. There's just so many kind of big characters that all work so hard to make Motherwell Football Club the best it can be. That seems to be something that you've said a lot there as well, from no matter what someone's role in the football club is, they all pull in the right direction to make it the very best it can be, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's definitely a club that, like you said, gets under your skin and you can't help but feel emotionally involved with the club and attached to it, because in football, I think it's hard to see now that players who play their whole career in one team, you know, because the markets are, you know, so much bigger than that. It's open for players all around the world to play in different countries and so on. So there's seems to be a lot more turnover. But I think for players, sometimes you feel like you don't want to get too much emotionally involved, you know, because in the end of the day, the clubs are also run with a business mindset as well, you know, so you don't, it can be difficult sometimes to get emotionally too invested. But I think with Motherwell, you know, I really feel, you know, from the first weeks that I was at the club, you know, I definitely felt like a part of the club, and not only, you know, as a player, but, you know, what really sort of a member of a bigger group, you know, something bigger than the team, you know. It's definitely, I think, was really special. And I think it's not only what happens on the pitch, also, you know, what happens on day-to-day work, you know. If you feel the support of the people when you see them on the street, or if you interact with people, you know, who work at the club, I think it's got a really special vibe around the club, and I hope that that continues there for in the future as well, because I think in football you don't get that so much. I think it's sort of a lot of times it's also things are, or decisions are made, or things are also looked at through sort of a business perspective. So I think, I hope that Motherwell never loses that kind of spirit that they have, and the kind of special atmosphere around the club.
And for yourself personally, at 28, there's still a lot of running in these legs still. You can never say never. Is there a possibility you'll one day return to Scotland and perhaps even play for Motherwell again?
Yeah, absolutely. You never say never, like you said. You know, right now it's, like I said, we're playing polling, you know, with the way my contract is set up and the way things are going with the club, you know, I'm really motivated to help take this team back to the top of Polish football where they've been previously and where they belong, in my opinion. You know, but I keep telling my wife, you know, because she hasn't been to Scotland, I keep telling her that I will take her there one day, and it's not happened yet. So I will definitely be in Scotland with her in the future, and hopefully catch a Motherwell game as a supporter at the very least.
Yeah, it would be fantastic to see you. Henrik, I'd really like to thank you for your time today. It's been really, really interesting, and I'm sure the supporters will absolutely love listening to this.
Hey, it's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. Thank you for listening.